Todd Hammer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in them ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens as with our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, by his people coming out of ignorance, which we perish because of our ignorance.
Oreni Yahuwah Darkeka, Ahalek Ba'amiteka, Yahel Le Bavile Yerah. Shemeka. Teach me your way, O Yahuwah. I will walk in your truth. Single my heart to fear your name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so today we're going to do another paradigm shift, of our ideas regarding the cosmos. But before we get into that, we just want to let you guys know and address an important
creation
matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these shows that we did regarding the 15-page paper that took us about 35 hours to just systematically disprove, and research every point that Levi put on air on the Rick Wiles show. We did our best to do that, and everything that we can find, we just cannot verify most of what he said. In fact, we're verifying, things that are, it's saying it totally opposite than what he said. And so, we've received really good support from our listeners in the tough step that we took. So, most of our listeners would know this process, hopefully, and that they would value it. Because it is a tough thing to do, to hold someone accountable, whether it's your spouse, your mom, your friend, and publicly, to step forward to do it. It's tough. Because it's where the rubber meets the road. Because we quickly are going to find out who's humble enough to receive correction versus who's going to blow up and start shouting, blaming, and running. Relationships often end when one person refuses to grow and change. Most prefer not to face this painstaking step. And instead, they gather literally for the sake of gathering, which we're told not to do in the scriptures. And they want to just go along to get along because it's easier, it feels better. So our household, Paradigm Shift, we choose differently. We've made a conscious decision to sacrifice community on the altar of right ruling, which that mirrors Psalm 84:10, where he says, I have chosen rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of my El than to dwell in the tents of the wrong. But we did have one negative comment so far in this whole process, and this person didn't even listen to the shows. So it's very important to address this one negative comment because it's why we do Paradigm Shift. Those who listen,
that's why we did the shows, especially
that's right.
The strategic. What was
the? If you don't understand what we're talking about, go back and listen to the strategic mind control through the lawless hearts of men. That's why we did those shows. And this listener is going to show you the disease that's in the body when you hear what they had to say. I mean, I'm sorry, they're not a listener. They're a commenter. They didn't even listen to what was said. So, and those who listen to Paradigm Shift, they actually understand what we're saying beyond the ear, well, at least those who understand what we're saying beyond the ear candy stuff. Those who understand that, they're going to immediately recognize the heart issues and the illnesses in this commenter because she's representing just one tiny microcosm of the huge infection that's in the body of Yahshua, much less the humankind today. And what is that infection? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's Aleister Crowley. That's Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also what's being presented to us all through our media, like with Angelina Jolie. Her character of Maleficent saying, oh, she's not such a bad person. She had a rough childhood. That's what made her who she is. Well, what Angelina Jolie has just done is she's just said to the whole world, it's okay. You know what? If you had a rough childhood, you go ahead, you rape and murder. That's okay.
You don't need to make a different choice. The violence and the wicked things that come up from your heart, from the injuries that are occulted inside.
Yeah.
The book, the scriptures, the Torah, the walk of our Messiah is about the right ruling of the heart. Solomon prayed for it when he was asked by Abba, For anything that he wants, mm-hmm. Solomon asked for discernment so he could discern the hearts of men, discern the
between good and evil. That was actually 1 Kings 3:9.
That's the most valuable thing. That's the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Elohim. How do you fear Elohim? Is you turn the Torah in on your heart 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every second of every day, checking and making sure what kinds of thoughts come into your head because they come from your issues of your heart.
Yeah, what is prayer unceasingly? It's taking every single thought captive. That is what it means to pray unceasingly. You don't let those evil thoughts come in and rule who you
It's not your outward appearance of if you're praying on a corner, if you're fasting in front of everybody, letting everybody know and see how great you are at praying and fasting. Or writing big sermons or doing anything like that. It's about the internal dialogue, 24/7 with the Ruach HaKodesh being our check in our hearts and our minds.
That's right. If you wrestle your thoughts and decisions to the ground so that you can get in control and you can actually make choices, then you become like Yaakov, who wrestled with the messenger in the night, and the messenger touched him. And get this, his name did not become Yisrael until after that wrestling match. And his walk was forever changed. It's all about making sure that you are making determined decisions instead of being led around by the nose or your evil heart.
The Brit Kadoshah warns us that we have to possess ye our own souls.
Yeah.
Or something else will. And that's what they want. In the New Ageism, Satanism that's across the planet, they want you cleaned out of anything of any conviction that might root up in you the old injuries of the past. Now they teach everyone to bury those things and then become whatever they decide that they are. And what happens with that is you become an open vessel to be possessed by something else.
At the very least, oppressed by something else, which will cause your actions.
Influenced, depending on the degree of our injury and how far we willfully go into magic and sorcery, which is mind control, attempts of mind control over other people through our manipulations and our abuses, be it through overt actions or covert actions, being really sweet or really overt and angry.
Okay, so here's what this commenter said. Again, they did not listen. They said, not anyone has the whole picture. I think it's best to walk alongside our brethren with their faults. Now, this is in regard to the shows that we did systematically disproving every point, almost every point that Levi put on Rick Wiles. So her response to this is, we just need to walk alongside our brethren with their faults rather than to stump preach on what they got wrong. And she goes on, the Hebrew Roots movement has many things right, yet too often they are stump preaching on such minor topics.
This is the topic.
Exactly. This man lied and got a bunch of people upset, and this woman's calling it a minor topic. So they're stump preaching on minor topics compared to the real threats against those who love the scriptures and are trying to obey in this wicked world. I didn't listen to this program, but I'm sure it's much of the same. Meaning, you got this wrong, so let's rip you a new hole and fight among ourselves while those who declare hatred are left alone. We better quit attacking our brothers who have different color shoes. Love to you, sister. Okay, now, that's very interesting to call this a different color shoe. A man gets on air and lies in a giant nation, global audience, and that's just a different color shoe. You know, and not even listening to the program, having no clue what we actually spoke and said. She's just sure that we are out to rip a man a new hole.
Okay.
And so anyway, that's what she said, and fight among ourselves. And so she has no concept of the humility that we approach this subject with. And she doesn't care about that, because that's part of the sickness, is that people don't understand that Ephesians 5:11 says that we are to have no fellowship with the fruitless works of darkness, but rather to expose and convict them. We are to love reproof and discipline. We are to openly reprove one another, openly rebuke. In fact, we are to admonish one another, not as an enemy, but as a brother.
You're right. You hate your brother if you don't do it, because then you're going to let them go along and they're going to mislead other people. But not only that, they never have a chance to be corrected themselves.
That's right.
They never get the opportunity for someone with an open hand and heart look at them and say, hey, it's okay, we all do these kinds of things, but now let's figure out why you're doing these things. And let's get honest and let's figure out what's really going on. And that is the setting, that is the process that our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, has commanded us to do, is to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. If we do not speak out, it's because of our own injuries, our own fears of what we might not get or we might lose.
That's right.
And typically it has to do with our paradigm or our idol of what we think of another man or of ourselves.
And wanting to go along that we to have, get along.
So we can go along to get along.
That's right. And so to sum up
okay.
what this... what
and you know, one other thing ahead. I want to say yes. that, as a result of that, yeah. what we get is a body that's infiltrated with a bunch of Rick Warrens, Joel Osteens, Kenneth Copeland's doing prayers to the Pope.
Jim Baker,
Tammy Faye, you know the whole list, Benny Hinn, all the ripoff artists on TV. Because and does anyone in Christianity do it in detail? In detail, how about John Hagee, that big old guy? You know, I mean, no one researches what these people are saying, and these men are saying, and these women are saying, and they don't reprove them. I mean, there's lots of good speakers out there in the Christian world and the Hebrew roots world that could do a lot of good for the whole entire body if they were identify the problems within the body and
root them out,
expose them, and if they want to come around and talk, then great.
Of course,
then
that's the whole point.
That's the whole point, is to get people turned around, and let's turn these things around so we don't mislead the whole entire nation and the body of Yahuwah.
Okay, and so, you know, the most important really point that this person made was that they didn't listen to the show, and so everything that they went after us about, they actually have no concept of what was talked about. And to sum that up, Proverbs 18:13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Spouting off before listening to the facts is shameful and foolish. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. And I just want to let you know that Ecclesiastes says, answer not before you've heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. And John 7 says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? And some nice commentary on this particular quote was, what mischief bad men do to themselves by their ungoverned tongues, which is exactly what we're addressing with Levi. We're not saying he's a bad guy. We're saying that his tongue is ungoverned and he was not careful and he actually did some damage. And omissions of duty and in duty are fatal to the soul, as well as commissions of sin. After the heart has been lifted up with pride, a fall comes, but honor shall be the reward of humility. Eagerness with self-conceit will expose to shame. And these are all the right. issues that we're trying to work on here and be very careful and responsible.
Get swept up in the strong delusion if you run around doing your life this way.
Yes.
You know, I just want to bring up one really good news point that I heard this week or saw in one of the headlines, and that is Kenneth Copeland, you know, of course he bowed down and or did whatever he did with the Pope and praying, oh, will you? The Pope was on there on TV, you know, in the Kenneth Copeland little studio there. And the Pope was saying, will you pray for me, brother? Pray for me, brother. Pray for me, brother. Oh, yes, we'll pray for you, brother. And they pray for this one world order idea, a thing that's going on. And, you know, and most people don't understand is the Pope believes and the Vatican Church believes all Protestantism, all Christianity belongs to the Church. The Vatican, and he is correct. They are correct in that because we do as they do. We think as they think. We hold the feast days that they hold. And the neat statement that I saw this week is the Pope says that if you're not basically a Catholic, you are not a Christian. Well, you know, that also includes Protestants. You're already included that as being a Catholic. You're not a Catholic, but you are included under the veil, under the whore of the Vatican. So you, being a Christian, is anyone who is doing the set dates, times, and seasons, and the orders that come out of Rome. And everybody does that, calls themselves a Christian predominantly. Now, the statement that he said, that I love it, because, no, we are not Christians. Our scriptures, if you read the Bible, it says that we are Israelites. We are Hebrews.
Crossed and over. That means Ibrim means one who has crossed over.
Crossed over. And our Abba identifies his nation and his people as Israelites, not Christians. And if you don't know your history, if you want to still call yourself a Christian today, and I know the masses of our people that do love our Abba and our Messiah are under that strong delusion. But I am so glad today to say that I am not a Christian! Woo!
That means we're not under Rome.
We have made Teshuvah. We were returning in our best endeavors on our own study, searching our own salvation out with our own fear and trembling to His times and seasons. Holy. And His Shabbats and keeping them no matter what anybody else is doing around us.
That's right. We're not Tinos either.
We're not Tinos.
Torah in name only. Torah keepers in name only.
We're not Tinos in name only. We're not Genos, Jews in name only. We're not Sinos, Christians in name only.
That's right.
Because that is what all of these other religions are. Buddhists in name only. I mean, because the people that rule all of these major world religions at the top, they didn't take very many people when you've got all the printing presses and the money in the world. And the ancient knowledge from the Dark Ages, all occulted and put into your underground caverns where you do your child sacrifice ceremonies on the eight Sabbats. But those are your world leaders. They're the wolves in the sheep's clothing. So, and I don't want to be a Christian as defined, especially now as it's defined by the Pope. Atheists are welcome, homosexuals are welcome, and aliens are now welcome as well into the fold of Christianity. Because you know who the aliens are, Mishpoka? Those are the demonic forces that control that church.
That's right. So now the demons are, hey, come on, you're saved under the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the bottom line is Hosea 5:4. Your whorings, people's whorings, they don't allow them to turn back because they don't know Yahuwah. And that's why if you don't stand up and say something when you know that there is lies and falsehood going on and when reproof and discipline needs to be had, then you have the blood on your hands and you've got heart issues. That's right. Yeah. So now let's get into Emmanuel Velikovsky's Worlds in Collision. You have this, you know, stuff that you were going to read.
Yeah, and the reason why we're getting into this is because, you know, if you've been listening for any time on Paradigm Shift, you heard us talk many, many times about calendars and about our perceptions and how important it is to understand history, and especially who wrote the history and who paid for that history to be wrote and whom does that history serve over time. And
what are the fruits of those calendars, that history?
That's right. So, you know, calendars are an integral part. Actually, they're the base foundation of everything that we do. And if you don't know where your calendar came from and the calendar you are serving, then you have no idea what God you are serving. Because whatever calendar you are serving the creators of that calendar.
And we've been proving to you how far back these wars go. This is nothing new. It is very, very ancient, and that's why you have to be so careful about who you're giving your authority over to.
And so we've been taught the story of creation is through the process of evolution, that we were dumber at one time, and now we're getting much smarter, faster, bigger, stronger, and all this and that.
Lie, 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 lie.
And it's the exact opposite. Disease has increased. The planetary systems are failing.
We're smaller. We don't live as long. We're dumber.
America is supposed to spends the most money on medical care in the world, and we're now like the 50th sickest nation on the planet. So
we have this idea of history.
So we want to take you guys back to creation, and we want to take you back to the ideas of how things came to be and how the ancients understood how catastrophes over time, not evolution, a smooth, you know, gradual growth like a plant. No, the solar system and the creation itself has been very violent with comets and large planets that have come through and passed through and caused many destructions on this earth. And they're related to things like with the Exodus, Joshua's event when the sun and moon were stopped, and Hezekiah's event when the sun was stopped. And the flood itself, the deluge, that was Yehoshua, Battle of Jericho.
Yes.
Yeah, when that was going on. And also at the time of Sennacherib, at Hezekiah's, when the Assyrians came to try to attack. So we're going to go.
Among a zillion others. I mean, we're just trying to name a few that you might recognize. But, I mean, this is not something that is rare or new in history. This is something that has happened periodically.
And again, Velikovsky was a contemporary with Einstein. The last couple of years of Einstein's life, and when Einstein died, Velikovsky and Einstein were all together. they were together contemplating Velikovsky's views on how on catastrophism versus uniformitarianism.
Yeah, you have a good article about how Carl Sagan started messing with Velikovsky too, and it's so amazing because they talked about this is from BibleResearchers.com.
And Carl Sagan, he's a young gun. He was the young gun. He's a part of the Cosmos Club. We did some stories, shows on Paradigm Shift on the Cosmos Club. And that was formed in the early 1900s, late 1800s, in order to corral scientists in this nation, and all archaeological information even, but mainly the things of the heavens is what the Cosmos Club was about.
So they can write the story.
Science. That's right.
So
and
you
Carl
can be
Sagan
clueless.
Is a part of that.
Yep.
And he came out against Velikovsky, and the man is just no different than Levi on Rick Wilde's show. His, you look into his facts and his research, and a lot of it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo made up stuff, but he's got the power elite corporatism behind him
backing.
That gives him all the fancy shows like the History Channel or,
yep.
you know, whatever else they can put
so
his face
on. So they can
on.
Hide what Velikovsky was revealing to everybody because they
right.
don't want you to understand.
All the ancients talk about what we're fixing to be reading from you from this book, but first Tamara's going to read to you from BibleSearchers.com, and this is a portion of this whole article, but it's called The Carl Sagan Debacle of Emanuel Velikovsky.
It was not just the academic blackmail against Macmillan, but soon almost the entire astronomical community rose to oppose the radical and revolutionary catastrophic views of Velikovsky.
Now, Macmillan was the publishing company that was first publishing Velikovsky's books. And of course, they own the publishing companies also, and they own all the scientists because you're not getting any research grants or any money from the government. You're not getting a job with the government as a scientist unless you toe the line of evolution, Darwinism, uniformitarianism.
That's right, and Velikovsky had singularly challenged the entire premise of modern astronomical cosmology, that the Earth was formed over billions of years, including an era of uniformitarianism in which the elements were never a threat to human beings. If the populace of the world returned to the fundamental biblical view of catastrophic creationism, even in the cosmos, the house of cards would crumble beneath all of them. Almost 20 years after Velikovsky wrote his first book, the young astronomer, Carl Sagan, went on the offense. His attack was so vicious that his name and reputation will forever be linked to his destruction of the reputation of the now of how the ancient part of now the ancient patriarch of catastrophic cosmology. As time elapsed, today the concepts of Velikovsky are again live and well, and the concepts of uniformitarian Darwinian cosmology, if Planet X is truly on its way to visit Planet Earth in the next 2 to 3 years, may forever be placed in the dustbin of scientific and academic theories against the God of creation. The astronomer Carl Sagan purposely set out to discredit the patriarch Emanuel Velikovsky at the 1974 American Association for the Advancement of Science conference. It was called Velikovsky's Challenge to Science. He posed as a fair critic in his paper entitled An Analysis of Worlds in Collision. When he wrote, this is by Sagan, "My own strongly held view is that no matter how unorthodox the reasoning process or how unpalatable the conclusions, there's no excuse for any attempt to suppress new ideas, least of all by scientists committed to the free exchange of ideas. Therefore, I was very pleased that the AAAS agreed to hold this discussion. Yet, in the introduction to his book, Carl Sagan and Emanuel Velikovsky, the preview said, having read Velikovsky, I also read Sagan's paper. I thereafter discovered that a group of scientists and scholars had written critiques of Sagan's analysis. After reading these criticisms, I began a search of the literature, and over a period of time, I became convinced that Sagan's critique lacked substance. Most surprisingly was the number of statements made by Sagan that proved to be clearly untrue. Further reading reinforced this discovery of the glaringly unscientific and unscholarly quality of Sagan's paper. What was much worse was that it was difficult to imagine that even Sagan was unaware of the misrepresentation of evidence presented as scholarly criticism by him and offered to the public." And so I'm not sure how much. Let's see.
You can keep going here.
Okay.
A little bit. Yep.
So then, in a book review of the man who wrote that preview, we read these words. This is the Wade Frazier book review. "I have spent long hours trying to assess Velikovsky's thesis. I had to admit that it would take me many years to properly assess his widely interdisciplinary thesis. While I do not subscribe to his scenario, I cannot call his work worthless. His work is still relevant 50 years after it was first published. While many works of science and scholarship rapidly fade into oblivion, that Velikovsky Dostoevsky's theories are still heatedly debated today is a testament to their worth in being considered.
Yeah, when Einstein died, a book of Worlds in Collision, Emmanuel Velikovsky's first book, was found open on his desk.
You shall not make for yourself any carved image, or bow down to them. You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.